Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, March 10, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're just getting started in Romans chapter 7. We have finished the greatest chapter in the Word of God that teaches that mysterion doctrine, mystery doctrine, church age truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are living in the church age. And in the church age, there is mysterion. Church age truth. Transliterated mystery, it means that this truth was not known about in Old Testament times. Nobody knew about the church age. Nobody knew about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was no baptism of the Spirit in the Old Testament times. This is unique to the church age. From Pentecost to the rapture, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Spirit identifies the new believer, identifies him in the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, and identifies him in the resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ in current positional truth. And the Apostle Paul has taught this in great detail in Romans chapter 6. So we finished that, but he's still continuing on. It is one thing for the believer to understand the baptism of the Spirit in retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. But it is something else for the believer to deal with the sin nature that remains within him, in his body, and the sin nature's efforts to express itself through temptations and the lust patterns with regards to one's thoughts and actions. This is the great internal conflict that the church age believer faces. And this is what we have in Romans chapter 7. And there is a great parallel passage that teaches this by Paul, and that's Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 teaches this great war, internal conflict, war going on inside the body of the believer between God the Holy Spirit and the sin nature. So, in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul illustrates by analogy what he taught in great detail in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, the emphasis was placed on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, current positional truth. Now, in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to illustrate this through the battle of the two husbands. The first marriage goes from physical birth to salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. The husband in the first marriage is the sin nature. The wife is the unbeliever. The marriage counselor is the Mosaic law. The second marriage goes from spiritual birth, the new birth, regeneration, on forever. The husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife is the believer. And the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. In the Mosaic law, there is much teaching about the subject of divorce. There is legitimate divorce and illegitimate divorce. Legitimate divorce means death, and therefore the death of the first husband, the sin nature, is really divorce. Legitimate divorce means death, and therefore the right to remarry. So in the most legitimate divorce means death. The death of the first husband, the sin nature, through retroactive positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, is really divorce, legitimate divorce. That means the ex-husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive and is residing inside your body, called the sarx, the flesh. The ex-husband, the sin nature, keeps on trying to become the authority of your life after salvation, after your faith in Christ, through temptations from the lust patterns. The first husband, the sin nature, is in a state of divorce from the believer, the wife, but he is still trying to get back into the life of the believer as the authority. This creates a great internal conflict in the life of the believer, and that's what Romans chapter 7 is going to be presenting and teaching, and with the parallel passage is Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So Romans 7 verses 1 through 6, the two marriages. So far in verse 1, it says, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" The Apostle Paul is an expert in sanctified sarcasm. He is saying, "You are very ignorant." And there were always Judaizers around the Apostle Paul that attacked Paul. They rejected what he taught. They thought they were the experts in the Old Testament scriptures. They thought they were the experts in the Mosaic law. But they were not. They did not understand the true purpose of the Mosaic law as God intended. They distorted the Mosaic law. They thought they were experts, but all they did was distort the Mosaic law into a false gospel, salvation by works, into self-righteousness and legalism. And Paul had to deal with that constantly. So when he says here, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" he is using sanctified sarcasm and saying, "You are very ignorant. For I am speaking to those who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law." They view themselves as experts of the Mosaic law. But the Apostle Paul says you are ignorant when it comes to knowing and understanding the true purpose of the law as intended by God. You must know the true purpose of the Mosaic law. And you must not distort it into a false gospel. Every gospel that's salvation by works is a false gospel. And the Judaizers were teaching you are saved by keeping the works of the law. If you keep the works of the law, you will have righteousness by your works. That was salvation by works, a false gospel. No one will be saved by keeping the works of the law. The Mosaic law was the marriage counselor of our first marriage to the sin nature as an unbeliever. In Codex number 1 of the Mosaic law, it declares that you have a very bad marriage. You have a problem. You are married to the sin nature. You are in the status of spiritual death. You are sinners and you need a savior. And then in Codex number 2, the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the savior, the solution to the problem. And it does this through shadow Christology and soteriology. The Mosaic law, which is perfect and is from God, has fulfilled its purpose. And now it is finished as a marriage counselor for us in the church age after salvation. And that's coming up in our next chapter, Romans chapter 8. The Mosaic law was our marriage counselor when we were unbelievers. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, as royal family of God, we have a new marriage counselor, and that is God the Holy Spirit. So verse 1 says, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" Yes, you are very ignorant. "For I am speaking to those who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law, that the Mosaic law has jurisdiction over mankind as long as he lives." That is, that period of time that he lives as an unbeliever. So in Romans 7:1, the Mosaic law acts as a restrainer. The Mosaic law has jurisdiction or authority with regard to restraint of the sin nature. And therefore, the Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of the unbeliever in his first marriage to the sin nature, possesses a certain authority over mankind. The Mosaic law functions as a restrainer of the sin nature. He does this through Codex number 1, the commandments, all of the thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And Codex number 3, the laws of divine establishment, where we have the function of law enforcement and judicial punishment of criminal activity. Restraint under the second marriage, marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of salvation, faith in Christ, comes through God the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, which says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature." So God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, provides a restraint, and the Word of God. Metabolized doctrine that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. Psalm 119 verse 11. "I have hidden your word in my heart." It can only get to your heart when you believe it. You hear it, you understand it, you believe it. When you believe it, it goes into your heart. And now that metabolized doctrine in your heart is a restrainer. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So once again, we see the importance of getting Bible doctrine in your heart. We see the importance of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And I'll be very honest, there are very, very few local churches today that are teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. Very, very few. Very few pastors who are prepared for the ministry, have been prepared, who have the gift, who have the ability to exegete from the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Old Testament, Koine Greek and the New Testament. And then we got believers that don't give a damn about that anyway. There are very few believers that have that. When you find a local church that teaches grace and truth, when you find a local church where the pastor is prepared and communicating the God from the God-breathed scriptures, and then everything else is more important than that anyway. And so we have a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. The problem in our country, don't point your finger at all of the unbelievers. The problem in this country are the believers. There's the problem. Most believers are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Most believers are not living by the power of the filling of the Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're commanded, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That's why we're commanded, walk by the Spirit. That's why we're commanded, grieve not the Spirit and quench not the Spirit. But there are very few believers living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and power of God. And then you have the consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. That's the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistently and faithfully, you assemble and you grow and you learn and you believe and you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. When you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, the Word of God that you believe in your heart, that is a restrainer. "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So now we go on to verse 2. And verse 2 says, "For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth." This is the perfect passive indicative of the verb deo, plus the dative singular of namas, plus the dative singular of ane, plus the articular present active participle of the verb za'o. First of all, the verb de'o. D-E long O, de'o. And de'o is the verb that means literally to bind, to tie. And Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 177, says it is used in our verse for binding by law and duty. Binding by law and duty. The perfect tense is the dramatic perfect. The dramatic perfect describes a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The passive voice, the married woman receives the action of being bound to her husband by law and duty by the word of God. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have namas. We're going to have it many, many times in this passage. N-O-M-O-S, namas. Literally translated law in the divine institution of marriage. And who was the one who invented marriage? The Lord Jesus Christ. The divine institution of marriage is a phenomenal institution. Jesus Christ invented the divine institution of marriage, and if you want to have a successful and a happy marriage, then you need to go to the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ, because He has told you how. He has told you how you can have a happy and successful marriage. This is a phenomenal divine institution that God wants you to have the very highest and best. Jesus Christ is the one who invented the divine institution of marriage. He's the expert on it. And in Ephesians 5, we have the Apostle Paul giving mandates for the husband and mandates for the wife. And when you fulfill those mandates, why, it's a slam dunk. You will have a wonderful, great, fantastic marriage. For the man, I think the mandate for the man is the hardest of all. Love your wife as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus Christ's love for mankind, when we were at our worst, spiritually dead, totally depraved, He willingly went to a cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins. He loved us when we were at our worst. He solved mankind's problem of sin so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have the gift of eternal life, imputed righteousness, and blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So husbands, the mandate for you is to love your wife when she's at her worst, with impersonal love for all. And the mandate for the woman is hupotasso, be subordinate to the authority of your husband. It's a military word. Be subordinate to, submit to the authority of your husband. And the husband is the authority in the marriage 100%. The husband has 100% of the authority in marriage. The woman has zero. Now you haven't missed out on anything, ladies, because God and the Word of God has lifted you up and placed you on a pedestal. And the husband realizes that. And he loves you with impersonal love for all. And he puts you up on that pedestal. And he protects you. And he provides for you. And that is phenomenal and fantastic. He is your on-air. honorable husband, a man of honor and virtue. And then when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love, brought and completion in your heart, then you can love him with impersonal love for all. And respect him. Respect his authority. And love him with virtue, love, as he loves you with virtue, love. And when the two of you have that virtue, love, and impersonal love for one another, why, you will have the most phenomenal, wonderful, fantastic marriage. And that's how God intended it to be. So the word namas, law, in the divine institution of marriage, the law is the word of God. For the unbeliever, in the analogy, the wife married to her first husband, the sin nature, the law refers to the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. The dative case of namas means by the law. You translate it by the law. And then the dative of oner, there's the word for husband, to her husband. And then the verb zao. Z-A-long-O, zao. Zao is the verb to live. The participle is circumstantial, temporal. And you translate the temporal participle while he is living, or as long as he is alive, or for as long a time as he lived. So the corrected translation, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. One, the married woman represents the unbeliever. In the analogy, the battle of the two husbands, the married woman represents the unbeliever. Two, the husband of the unbeliever is the sin nature. The sin nature is the ruler of human life through spiritual death. We come into the world of physical birth, physically alive, spiritually dead. And we are in slavery. Slaves to sin and to death. Slaves to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. Slaves to Satan as the ruler of this world. So the husband of the unbeliever, this is the sin nature. The sin nature is the ruler of human life through spiritual death. Three, the rulership of the sin nature begins at physical birth. Four, the unbeliever is married to the first husband, the sin nature, from physical birth to that point of faith in Christ, salvation. The unbeliever is married to the first husband, the sin nature, from physical birth to salvation, that moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Five, the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, teaches us as unbelievers that we have a bad marriage. The Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, teaches us as unbelievers that we have a bad marriage. Codex number one says we are sinners. Codex number two points to the solution of this bad marriage, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Six, at the moment of faith in Christ, we are divorced from the first husband, the sin nature. This is the baptism of the Spirit. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. And then married to the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. So at the moment of faith in Christ, we are divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. 7. As an unbeliever, the first husband, the sin nature, was the absolute authority. As an unbeliever, the first husband, the sin nature, was the absolute authority. 8. As a believer, the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now the absolute authority in your life. As a believer, the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now the absolute authority in your life. And how does he speak to us? Through the Word of God, which is what? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. So he is the authority and speaks to us through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband be dead, this is the postpositive conjunction de plus the conditional particle aeon plus the nominative singular of on air with the definite article plus the aorist active subjunctive of the verb aposthenesco. The conjunction de is the conjunction of contrast. D-E, correctly translated, but, conjunction of contrast. Now there are four contrasts here. First of all, it sets up a contrast between the first marriage and the second marriage. Sets up a contrast between the first marriage and the second marriage. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between the unbeliever and the believer. Third, it sets up a contrast between the old sin nature as the first husband and the Lord Jesus Christ as the second husband. It sets up a contrast between the old sin nature as the first husband and the Lord Jesus Christ as the second husband. Fourth, it sets up a contrast between the Mosaic law as our marriage counselor with God the Holy Spirit as our marriage counselor. And then we have aeon plus the subjunctive. Conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive. E-A-N. Aeon plus the subjunctive, it's a conditional particle. It introduces a third-class condition. You translate it if. And it's in the third-class condition because maybe you have believed in Jesus Christ and maybe you have not believed in Jesus Christ. Third-class condition. And then ha on air, the man, used here, the husband. The husband. And then the verb apothenesco. Looks like this in the Greek, A-P-O-T-H-N, long E, S-K, long O, apothenesco. Now, literally, apothenesco is used for physical death. Physical death, to die. But it's used figuratively in this passage, and figuratively it's used for a couple of things here. First of all, retroactive positional truth. At that moment of the baptism of the Spirit, the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, we're identified with, here it's used for identification with Jesus Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Spirit at salvation, faith in Christ. So it's retroactive positional truth, identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial at salvation. And it's used for divorce, legitimate divorce, which is death in the Mosaic law. So, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if the husband has died, she is loosed from the law of her husband. And this is the perfect passive indicative of the verb katargeo, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive singular of namas with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of aner with the definite article. We have the verb katargeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O. Katargeo. A couple of points on this verb. First of all, it means to abolish. It means to wipe out. It means to set aside. Secondly, it came to mean to cancel, to abrogate, to render null and void. Now, point three, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 418, tells us that in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be released from an association with someone. The perfect tense is the dramatic perfect, once again, which describes the fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The passive voice, the wife, the believer, receives the action of being released from her first husband, the sin nature, through retroactive positional truth. The indicative mood is declarative. This is an absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the preposition apa plus the genitive. A-P-O, apa. Now, Arndt and Gingrich, once again, on page 87, tells us that with verbs in the passive voice, which is what we have, that apa plus the genitive should be correctly translated by. And then we have namas again, the law, the Mosaic law. And then we have the genitive singular of aner, once again, from her husband, the first husband, the sin nature. So the corrected translation, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, she is released by the law from the husband. For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, she is released by the law from the husband. And in the analogy that Paul is teaching, this is from the first husband, the sin nature, through retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. So, remember, Romans chapter 7 is being used and taught by Paul to illustrate, by analogy, what he taught in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul was emphasizing the baptism of the Spirit, which occurs at salvation. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. Now, in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to illustrate this through the battle of the two husbands. The wife of the first marriage is the unbeliever. The wife of the second marriage is the believer. The first husband is the sin nature. The second husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage counselor of the first marriage is the Mosaic Law. The marriage counselor of the second marriage is God the Holy Spirit. All right. Point one. The first wife, the unbeliever, is married to the first husband, the sin nature, at physical birth. The first wife, the unbeliever, is married to the first husband, the sin nature, at physical birth. Two, the second wife, the believer, is married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the new birth. Regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. The second wife, the believer, is married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the new birth, regeneration, faith in Christ. Three, the phrase, but if the husband has died, in the analogy that Paul is using, refers to retroactive positional truth, identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial. So the phrase, but if the husband has died, refers to retroactive positional truth identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial. Four, death is used in this passage for legitimate divorce. Because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive. Living in the body. So death is used in this passage for legitimate divorce because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive, living in the body. Five. Once divorce occurs, retroactive positional truth, the husband and the wife are not alive to each other. Once legitimate divorce occurs, retroactive positional truth, the husband and wife are not alive to each other. Therefore, point six, they must regard each other as dead. Therefore, they must regard each other as dead. Seven, the Mosaic Law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage who advises the unbeliever of his spiritual death. You have a bad marriage. The Mosaic Law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage who advises the unbeliever of his spiritual death. You have a bad marriage. Codex number one points out the problem. Codex number two presents the solution to the problem. Point eight. So, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. 9, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, provides the mechanics for the divorce analogy. The baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, provides the mechanics for the divorce analogy. So verse 2, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, she is released by the law from the husband. All right. We'll stop there and take a break and come back for part 2 a little later.